I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up, pimp. If you want me, you can find me in the air.
Let me see it. Let me see it.
You can find me.
Let me see it.
Bounce that, bounce that, bounce that, bounce that.
You can find me.
Bounce that, bounce that.
Let me see it. Let me see it.
You can find me.
Let me see it.
Bounce that, bounce that, bounce that, bounce that.
You can find me in the air.
Let me see it.
Bounce that, bounce that.
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 All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 332. I'm your host, GPD, in Tokyo, Japan, and of course, we're joined by a man who started a revolution and will get no credit for it, Wombat.
Papa Mau Mau?
And of course, Shipwreck is here as well.
Giddy up.
Giddy up. I was really sorry to hear that, Wombat, that Reddit is going to get all the credit for removing the ads off the Xbox dashboard. Well, we all know, all the true CADcast fans know, that you are the best complainer. Well, maybe not the best complainer, because the best complainer obviously would have gotten it done. But
ouch!
But the first complainer.
It's okay. I'm okay with it. I wasn't doing this for credit.
For glory?
Yeah, this wasn't about glory. This was about results.
We're talking about the ads?
Getting the violent ads taken off the dashboard.
Well, they're not ads. They're promotional units, but yes.
In-house ads.
Yes.
Promotional units. Wombat's going to start splitting hairs. But if somebody on Reddit posted it like a week or two after Wombat started complaining about it. Not complaining. Discussing it. And
complaining.
But Major Nelson responded on Reddit. I guess, I don't know. You didn't complain loud enough, Wombat. Reddit's pretty big, though. It's tough to compete with Reddit.
Yeah, I think they're a lot larger than I am personally.
Right. Well, I don't know. Have you weighed yourself lately? But I'm bumped.
Ouch. Again, this is just hurt Wombat already. We're not even a minute. We're not even 2 minutes in.
No. I'm sure you just want it to be fixed, and you don't really care who fixed it.
That's right. I looked at it yesterday. I was on the Xbox, and it had a Comic-Con ad.
Right. So oh, my God. No!
Yeah. So, better. Better.
Better. Well, I have some big news.
Oh?
My Logitech Harmony remote. Ultimate Harmony? What is it called, Shipwreck?
Yeah, it's the Ultimate Harmony remote.
Yes, it finally arrived via the
It's the perfect name, right?
It is pretty ultimate, and it has brought harmony to my remote control situation, pretty much. You were right, Shipwreck. It is outstanding. I don't know that I necessarily needed it. Well, I know I didn't, but it's pretty awesome.
Can you control your toilet with it?
I could actually. The problem is, why
don't you?
There's no reason to because it has.
I know, really. That's not an acceptable answer.
I could. The problem is the blast. The IR. So it's this whole thing with the. You have to learn a lot about this thing before you set it up. You can't just open the box and expect to plug it in and do it. Which I tried to do, and I was like, this thing is just not working at all. You have to connect it, you know, it connects to your network. There's a hub that connects to your network, and then there's infrared extension cords that shoot the beams in other directions.
The blasters,
right. We love to say blasters. I don't think
you have to feel good when you're setting up blasters around your house. Like, what did you do today? Oh, I installed some blasters.
Right. Just, you know, I had one blaster installed. But just for fun, I installed a second. Actually, I didn't, but I'm thinking about it. But I didn't really even need really the second. Actually, I did need the second. I needed one blaster because that my wireless transmitter is basically like really low down in my entertainment system. And I needed like to get just the right angle. So I put them underneath my couch.
So do you have a spare blaster?
I have a spare blaster, but it's not long enough to go into my bathroom. And I wouldn't want
to
run a cable.
You need to figure that out. Because I really don't want to hear any more about the remote that we've already spent 25 minutes on, unless it's controlling your toilet.
Technically, I could flush my toilet with my iPhone if I just had a long enough. If I had a long enough cable, I could flush the toilet with my iPhone. But it seems like it's unnecessary since the button is just right next to the toilet.
It says the man who just spent $400 on a remote control.
Right. Meanwhile, the biggest problem with the remote control is that I can't get Mrs. Chibi to use the remote control. She just comes into the living room in the morning, waltzes on in and uses the regular TV remote, and it fucks up my whole shit. Because now the system doesn't know that the TV is on.
You gotta hide that. You gotta hide that.
I told her. I threatened her last night. I said, I'm gonna hide that shit. And this morning I walk in, same story. TV's on.
She found it.
I mean, I didn't hide it. That's why. That was just the threat phase. Phase one was just a threat.
Just stick it down your pants.
I would say stick it down your pants or put it in the kitchen. She won't find it.
that's a good call. I could literally put it like on top of the stove and it just like, where's that fucking iPhone? Where's that remote? I can't turn the TV on. Meanwhile, the Logitech Harmony right on the thing, it says watch TV. The touchscreen is pretty sweet on that remote that comes.
It's got vibration feedback.
It's got a touchscreen and vibration feedback and lit keys. And it's rechargeable. It comes with a cradle. And it uses Bluetooth, so you don't even need to like point it at anything. It doesn't matter where you are as long as you're connected to the network. It's pretty sweet. Good job, Ship. I will take your technology advice again in the future, as I have continued to do in the past.
You need to get one.
I have a secret to tell people, but I don't. It's too good. I'm not sure if I should reveal it to the general public.
Gen pop.
How I got my iPhone fixed for free after I dropped it. I think I figured out the secret. So I'll tell the CADcast listeners only if they promise not to tell anybody. Okay. Do you think that's reasonable, Wombat?
That's fair.
And you know what? Delete the MP3 when you're done listening to it. Actually, delete it right after you hear how to do it. Don't even listen to the rest of the show. So when I dropped my iPhone in my living room. Time Lord Killer wrote in and he wanted to know how did you break your iPhone? And he spelled break in an interesting way. But so I just dropped it in my living room and the floor is like pretty soft in there. So I was surprised that it just shattered the screen. So I made an appointment at the Apple store. I walked in, the guy, you know, you can get an English-speaking guy here. So first of all, for phase one of this, if you're in Japan, get an English-speaking guy. If you're in any place else, it doesn't matter. The guy, he's like, oh, what happened? I said, I dropped the phone in my living room. It broke. He takes the phone. He looks at it. He sees that the button is kind of broken now, like the button on top, whatever you call that button.
The top button.
Yeah, it sticks now. And he asks me, he said, was that button broken before you dropped the phone or after you dropped the phone? Now, I just told him the truth. I said I broke it because I'm not there to like fucking scam anybody. I'm just there to see what the story is. So I told him it happened after. He's like, all right. And he's looking at it again. He goes, well, I'm just going to say that it happened before. And that way I can give you a new phone for free because you bought this phone less than a year ago, so it's still under warranty. And I was in and out of the place in like 10 minutes. So the secret is, here's the thing. You have to be willing to bend the truth a little bit. Wombat, are you willing to bend the truth if you drop your iPhone?
Well, I think you're great, so...
You didn't drop your iPhone, though. Aha!
Yeah.
So if you tell the guy, if you basically say like, you know, I made an appointment to get this button fixed on my phone and I was on the way over there and I dropped it. As long as you're in within a year of your the purchase of the phone, they're supposed to replace it for free. So that's the secret, Wombat.
That sounds like a good secret.
Everybody delete episode now.
Boop.
All right. How about some show feedback?
Sure. This is the second week in a row where like no one had anything to say about the show.
There were not that many comments?
No, there were like 50 comments.
Well, that's not nothing. That's a lot, I think.
Is it a lot? I don't know.
Maybe not for us. It's summertime. The website is all fucked up, so people don't like it anymore.
And when I say 50 comments, a lot of them were made by us. So I don't know if it counts.
Not me. Did I make any?
You made at least one.
Okay. Well, I started the thread.
That was where I was going with that.
I may have made more than one.
Anyway.
Yes.
Painkiller has to say.
Right. You have to abbreviate this. I read this while I was eating my cereal this morning. This is what I do.
So I have to admit that you guys know your video games for the most part. As for movie reviews and recommendations, I have to advise listeners to think twice. The first Transformers is awesome. I still watch it. Rise of the Fallen was okay, and Dark Side of the Moon seemed like a total sellout movie. You're way too generous with Pacific Rim to be dissing Transformers. Out of a little over 2 hours, there is about 45 minutes of watchable movie. It's not worth more than a Redbox rental.
Oh, I didn't see. I didn't realize that this was about Pacific Rim. You know, I skipped that part. Okay, when I was my cereal was really good, so you can understand.
The scale was grand and the mayhem was awesome, but that's it. Would that guy be a great contributor to the franchise? Transformers franchise, yes, okay, but I think gone too far. And they, blah 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 blah. As for Despicable Me 2, I like the first one, but the second one blows civet coffee chunks. Couldn't stand to watch more than a quarter of the film.
What does civet mean?
I think that's
those
like
are the little ground monkeys that poop out coffee beans.
Ew.
Turn into coffee.
God, that's gross. Okay.
Yes. And he only watched a quarter of the film, so he paid to see it in the theater.
He walked out. It was so bad.
I doubt it. I can't imagine anyone would do
that. He was
that.
On
but
a
anyway.
Plane, I heard, when he watched it.
I understand it's part of the show, and that's cool, but from the perspective of everyday Mario the Plumber, it makes you guys seem like movie snobs and video game whores.
Whores?
I like that we're movie snobs because I liked Pacific Rim, which is a movie about robots fighting monsters.
That's insane to me.
We both kind of like Despicable Me too.
It seems like you give more credit to B-list games than you'd give to A-list movies. I didn't realize Transformers was an A-list movie.
Transformers is bad. I'm so. Here's the thing, Painkiller. I can appreciate the fact that you enjoy Transformers, but I'm guessing, and I could be wrong, I'm guessing you did not grow up as like an 8-year-old watching the original animated series. And I think to people like us, it is kind of gross. So I can see where you're coming from, but you have to also understand where we're coming from. And
yeah, I have no problems if people like the Transformers movies. I just think they're terrible.
The people.
Not the people, the movies.
People. You would not people invite those people to your house is what you're saying.
Right.
They offend. You think less of those people, usually, pretty
much. Yeah, I mean, they're the Sam Witwickies of the world.
Right.
That was Sam Witwicky. Right?
There was too many people in that movie.
There were too many people.
If I can remember a human's name in the Transformers movie, you've done it wrong.
Dude, if I can remember the guy's name in it. It took me 10 seconds to remember it, to think of who that was after you said it. But I did remember it, and that's disturbing. It's bad. Sorry. I didn't like it. I cannot find it.
I don't
enjoy,
remember
I'm
any
glad
of the
you
people's
liked
names
I'm glad somebody
in
liked
Pacific
it.
Rim. So great job, Pacific Rim.
I will watch that when it comes to iTunes for $4.99. That's my prediction.
Yes. And it leads us right into Watch This Bitches. And I know that Shipwreck saw a movie yesterday, 2 days ago.
Yeah, I saw The Conjuring. Are you guys familiar with this film?
I'm not.
Is it scary? Because it's supposed to be like legitimately scary, not gory, gross, but scary.
Not gory at all. It's from the guy who did Saw, I guess. I have never seen the Saw movies because that doesn't appeal to me.
Me neither. But
this has very, very minimal gore, if at all. So I would say it kind of reminds me of more of like a Poltergeist or Exorcist. Like if you put those two movies together, it's kind of what this is. Hmm. And it's based on a true story, apparently. But it's really well done. It has the main guy from Office Space in it, Ron Livingston.
Nice.
Nice.
And I mean, it's your typical like horror. I didn't know much about it going in. The only thing I knew was it was playing at the time slot that I needed to see a movie at on $5 Tuesday.
Pretty jealous that you get to go to a movie theater for $5 like that every week. I go to one movie a year, maybe.
Well, he won't get to do that soon enough. So,
right. That's why I'm watching everything right
now. Yeah, I would say get it as many in now as
you're
can.
Front loading the movies.
Right. Well, I don't watch that many scary movies. So I saw this one was on at the time slot that I needed, and it's getting very good reviews. Like, it's got like an 87 or something on Rotten Tomatoes.
So your wife would watch it, Cheapy.
By the way, she confirmed she would watch Pacific Rim. I told her what the Rotten Tomato score was, and she said she would watch it. We had that question last week.
I know, I remember.
As far as it being scary, The Conjuring, it's tense the whole time. I didn't like jump out of my seat at any moment, but it's a very enjoyable movie to watch. Like, so I think you guys would both enjoy it. I think.
All right.
Did you guys like The Exorcist?
Really, I was about to say I enjoyed the Exorcist, but I don't think anyone enjoyed the.
We like Cabin in the Woods. Is it like that at all?
It's not like Cabin in the Woods. Totally different tone.
Like Batman at all?
I
like Batman.
Yeah, he's not in it per se, but you could pretend that he was there.
I'll check it out. We'll check it out.
Yeah.
So I watched The Bourne Legacy on Saturday.
Mrs. Sheepy watched that.
Because it was on television. What did she think? Did she hate it?
She watched that on an airplane, I believe. I think she thought it was a good movie to watch on an airplane.
Is this the one with Hawkeye in it?
Yes, that's the Hawkeye one. The newest one, the one that came out last summer. Part of me thinks that, you know, if they didn't include the whole Bourne aspect, the movie probably still could have been made, and people would have called it a Bourne ripoff movie. Or you can actually include it as part of the Bourne franchise, and then people will say, why are you ruining the Bourne name with this crappy movie? And I'm trying to figure out which one was the better choice.
Right. Those movies are all dependent on the amount and frequency, the length and frequency of the fight scenes and how good they are.
There's a couple of actually really good fight scenes in that movie. The scene in the house I thought was really cool. I liked the action. It totally works. And I was exhausted on Saturday having hosted two birthday parties that day. I was beat by, you know,
you're
sitting
hostess
on the couch.
With the mostess.
Exactly.
Did you wear an apron?
I should have.
Kiss the cook?
Yep, kiss the cook with the hat and everything. but there's like a twist in the movie that was so dumb. I don't want to spoil it for you guys, but it was when they say it, it's just like, you've got to be kidding me. And it totally ruins the rest of the movie.
Right. He's a woman.
He's a woman. Yeah. That would have been better.
That would have made more sense.
It would have made more sense. So I don't want to spoil it, but there's a twist that's just awful.
Right. We didn't watch any movies, but we did go to, we had a night out because Ty's school, even though his school is over now.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because Ty was just home.
Ty said he would stay home by himself. He said he was good. So we're like, all right, we're out. We'll see you. See you tomorrow. His school had a sleepover for one night. So that was like a kind of a big deal for us. So we had a big night out. We went out to a grilled clam restaurant, which was really awesome. They just keep bringing you plates of grilled clams with different sauces until you tell them to stop bringing you grilled clams. And then we went to this bar called Hollow Point, which is an airsoft gun bar. And do you know what airsoft guns are, Wombat? Shipwreck?
Yes. They're like BB guns.
They're like BB guns, but because guns are completely illegal here, real guns are completely illegal. You can't buy them. The airsoft guns are free to be 100% replicas of actual guns. And really any type of gun, like from like a simple pistol to a shotgun to sniper rifles to grenade launchers.
RoboCop's gun.
I actually bought RoboCop's gun, as you might have seen from a very old YouTube video. But at this bar, Hollow Point, they have a lot of these guns, including RoboCop's gun. They had a bunch of guns. And they even tell you what movies the guns are from. There's like a menu of guns to choose from. So I shot the RoboCop gun since I broke mine. And I've never actually shot my RoboCop gun before with actual BBs in it. And I also shot a Vector, which is some sort of machine gun. And I remember them from Call of Duty games or something. This shit's amazing. Like, first of all, it's heavy as fuck. It feels like a real gun. It's solid metal. It's got a laser sight on the top. I mean, it's like really like some Call of Duty shit. But the crazy thing is that I can go into a bar in Japan and just like get drunk and shoot these fucking realistic guns and have a great time. But I can't buy any of the real guns. And in America, I can go buy all the real guns, but I can't buy any realistic toy guns. It seems really fucked up somehow and confusing to me.
There's a place around here now where you can go shoot zombies with real guns.
How does that work?
I guess like zombie targets pop up.
And you rent
I don't
real
know.
Guns.
I hear commercials for it on the radio.
You rent real guns and shoot them. I got to tell you, there's something like this would, even if it was, they had a bar where you could shoot real guns, it's much more fun to do it with the airsoft because there's no danger really involved. Like, I remember I shot a real gun. I've shot a real gun twice in my life. Once was on the back of a Carnival cruise ship.
Yes,
it was a shotgun.
Told us that story
right.
About eight times.
And the other was at a bachelor party at a shooting range. And there's like a real sense of danger there. And there's a lot of rules, obviously. And it's not that fun because you're always worried. You know, the sense of death is just like right. It's just a trigger, a finger twitch away. But with the airsoft, you could just be like, fuck it. And pose and stuff. It's much better. That's what I'm saying. Japan does a few things right. They really got that right with the whole gun thing. Now they got to get the smoking thing going. Got to get rid of the cigarettes. Anyway, there you go.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay,
that's my gun rant.
Yes. You sure know how to shoot off your mouth.
Welcome to Fox and Friends. The opposite of that. Do we have new releases? I didn't actually put them on the outline.
There are any.
They're on there. Yeah, there's Earthbound came out for Wii U on the Virtual Console. Mm-hmm. Shantae came out for the Virtual Console on 3DS.
Shantae,
she's got purple hair.
Wait.
Yeah, the genie platformer from Way Forward.
Oh. It's old.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I'm not I'm just saying it's not new.
Shantae.
Have you tried out on the Vita? Have you tried out Roll in the Hole? That sounds.
Are you asking me if I tried a Roll in the Hole?
Have you tried a Roll in the Hole or two? Or
that's been
are
a
you...
couple of years, man.
A Roll in the Hole with some grilled clam.
Right. Oh, God. Roll in the Hole. No, I don't know. I'm not familiar with that particular game.
Oh, Shadowrun Returns came out for PC. Do you have any interest in that?
I never played that game. I played Syndicate. I was more of a Syndicate.
I played the Shadowrun pen and paper game when I was in high school. Now who's the coolest person on the podcast?
Right. I didn't play that. I was still in high school.
I had a Decker detective named Domino, and he had a sweet car.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And the Smurfs 2 game came out for everything.
Awesome. I never moved past Dungeons and Dragons. I tried Star Frontiers, but it was never the gateway drug into like even nerdier things like Shadowrun. If you know my meaning.
And NASCAR. NASCAR came out.
Right. I saw that on PC.
I'm just gonna keep on listing all these things.
I was gonna say I think we're done with new releases for this week.
Summer, huh?
What about Undead Bowling on the eShop?
Yeah, okay. How about an ad from GoDaddy, Chibi?
Okay. Well,
I'm moving this along.
Codes to satisfy your domain registration and web hosting needs at GoDaddy.com. The first is CAG249, which gets you a year of .com domain registration. And then there's 32 off 1, which gets you 32% off your order. And then the last one is Free9, which gets you a year of a .com registration with private registration, which is usually costs a couple bucks. So there you go. That's CAG249, 32 off 1, and Free9. So just go to GoDaddy.com and sign up for all that shit. So Wombat can buy a $350 remote. You got to sign up for a lot of websites.
Please.
If you want one of those.
Please.
All right, now what do we got here? Multi-platforming, Wombat's news and stuff.
I heard you've been playing a new game.
I started to play a little EVE Online.
Oh, boy. And?
Which, because the Steam sale, I blame the Steam sales.
And?
Because they had a $20 pack for $5.
I didn't ask you why. I said, and. So how is it?
So I played about 6 hours.
He just has to explain why.
I have to explain why. Like, people need to know. It has to be.
That's because that's every question when somebody says, oh, I started playing EVE.
Right. It seems weird. They're like, oh, what did they send you a check or something? No, I bought the thing for 75% off. And they have like this new Explorer. Do you remember we saw it at our EVE appointment? They had this new Explorer pack, the new Explorer add-on.
I don't know what we saw at our EVE appointment. When somebody tries to explain what EVE is to me, go ahead. Try to explain what EVE is to me, Chibi.
I can do it. I think I can actually do a pretty good job.
It's a dancing bear on a bicycle, right?
No. What? It's a massively multiplayer online.
You want to see the bear in the little car, huh?
And you have a spit. You're a guy in a little pod, and you roll a character, and you can level them up, and then you get a spaceship, and then you can fly around in space, and there's planets, and there's other ships, and you have to figure out ways to make money, and there's a lot of different ways to do that, and there's combat, and isn't that it? There's always, like, there's different factions, and there's, like, you know, it's a huge game, and it's been going on for a long time, so there's lore to it, there's canon. And that's the game. Didn't I do a good job explaining it?
No. I have no idea what you do in this game.
Okay, so you have a spaceship and you fly around the galaxy. Like right now I'm doing the tutorials. So it's teaching me how to scan things. I did it live on Twitch yesterday, and I think people were like fading fast. People were like exiting the room rapidly when they saw me send my probes out. It's pretty confusing. Because some things are not working. Like I've done missions and I swear I'm doing it properly, and the thing is supposed to drop an item after I open it, and just there's no item, and it's telling me to wait for the item and there's no item. So that's pretty frustrating. But other than that, it's like it looks really good. Like the
Did you just say fuckstrating? Because if so, I approve the word.
Fuckstrating?
Yeah.
I did not mean to, but it wasn't that frustrating. It wasn't fuckstrating, okay. But it was frustrating. It was frustrating. So I don't know what to do. But other than that, I've been having a good time, and I figured out how to put it up on my second screen, so I can like do work on one screen and fly my ship on the other screen.
And
it is a visual wonder, as Mrs. Chibi would say. It does look pretty sweet, like the warp effects and the galaxies and all that shit. So we'll see if I stick with it.
I always thought this was some kind of like spreadsheet, like numbers game or something.
It's not. It's real shit. It looks like it looks really good. Hmm. Mrs. Chibi and I spent about an hour making the guy, like designing the character and the character creator. I don't think she's actually ever seen the game operate past the character creation screen. But yeah, we'll see if I stick with it. I also bought this game Mercenary Kings, which was on sale at Steam. It's a metal slug. Is that the game?
Mm-hmm.
It's like yes. Metal Slug, yes. But it's online and there's RPG elements. Seems pretty good, but it's in alpha right now. So, Wombat, what do you think of this? Steam does something where you can buy the game now. The game's not done. It's in alpha now. You pay for it now, and you have access to the alpha now, but the game's not done. You don't really know probably when it's going to be done. But when it is done, you own the game.
So does it just like have a hard cutoff at some point? Like you get to play level one and then...
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Because that's... I mean, I don't know.
I think
know.
You're playing the game as it's... I don't know how that would work. Like if it can... If your progress carries through the whole thing.
I was going to say, is the basic game finished and they're just like tweaking certain online
things? No, because there's like no, like things are grayed out in the menu, like the options are grayed out.
So if you want to play the game with all the options, you'll have to start again from the beginning.
I have no idea.
Would you want to start this
that
game
would be
again
annoying.
From the beginning?
That would be annoying to me.
So there you go. So I think you answered the question for yourself.
I need to do some research. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying you've made a grave error.
Yeah, do you get your money back if they don't finish the game?
I don't know, but I almost spit iced tea all over my computer. Thank you. I don't know how that works at all. I think this is relatively new, this their early access program. There's a few games that are on there. But this is the first one that I've tried. But it seems pretty cool. Like, the art style is really good. The animations and everything, the pixel art. It's very pleasing to look at. You can play four-player local co-op in a quad split screen. The problem is, if you only want to play with two people, you still have that quad split screen. And there's just two black screens.
Maybe they'll fix that at post-alpha.
Yeah, because it's pretty annoying. And it would be also, yeah, it's just too small. Like, even on a 60-inch television, it's just like it looks too small. But it's cool. It's cool. Keep an eye out for that. What have you guys been playing?
I played and beat Evoland.
Oh.
Did we talk about that at all last week? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Okay. Evoland, it's a indie game on the PC where you're playing it as it kind of chronicles the history of RPGs from The Legend of Zelda up to, I don't know, like more like 32-bit era.
Sword of Vermillion? No, that's 16-bit.
Right. So it gets up to kind of the Final Fantasy VII.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit beyond that. And it's very much like the name of your character is Clink. And
I get it.
You meet a girl and her name is Karis. So it's got a lot of like inside jokes and references to the other games. But it's really cool because as you go along and you find chests, which you find chests is a pretty rapid rate in the game. But as you find a chest like you would in Zelda, when you open it up, it adds things to the game. Like it adds, okay, now you went from 8-bit, now it's 16-bit, or now instead of having the individual screens, like in the original Zelda, where you had to walk off screen and it went loaded a new screen, now it's the scrolling type, like where you would clever. Get. And then like you'll go into a dungeon and suddenly it'll be like Dragon Quest style, like turn-based battles. And then you go from there and you'll all of a sudden you'll turn into like the 3D world and you like can warp back and forth from the 3D back to the 2D because it's all the whole world like changes, but it's still the same map, if that makes sense. Like you're revisiting some places that you were at when you were in the 8-bit form, but you're in the 32-bit form and you might have to like have an obstacle that you couldn't get past, and so you switch back and forth between the two different types of games.
Clever.
At some point it even turned into like a Diablo style game. It's a really interesting idea. It only takes about 3.5, maybe 4 hours to finish. So it moves at a pretty brisk pace, but a CAG got it for me. When it was on sale for $5 during the Steam sale. I think it's normally $10.
Oh, nice. That was nice of them.
Yeah. It was nice of them. Because he thought I'd like it, and I wouldn't have tried it otherwise. Because when you look at screenshots of it, it just looks like, okay, somebody made another retro-looking RPG.
And it's got controller support, full controller support?
Yeah, full controller support.
Nice. Cool. Evoland.
Yeah, Mrs. Shipwreck has been playing it as well. She likes it.
It's only on PC?
Yeah, only on PC.
Okay.
I've also been playing some Dungeon Hearts on PC.
That I don't know.
Which is, it's a match three game of sorts with the RPG twist to it as well.
Hmm.
Like gems come scrolling from the right hand side of the screen, and you have to match them up and destroy different blocks to perform attacks and that type of thing.
Okay,
it's pretty addicting because it's one of those things where you have to play through it all in one sitting, and if you die, then you start back at the beginning. Okay. But I like it. I'm not sure how much that one is, but it's a, like at first I wasn't that keen on it, but then I found myself just wanting to keep playing it over and over again. So
cool.
Dungeon Hearts. Yeah. And then the game that I've really liked that I started playing this morning actually, and I came home and played some after work too, was The Swapper, which you got this for me, Cheapy.
Oh yeah. I bought that a while ago, right?
Yeah. And I just hadn't sat down and played it yet. I didn't know what it was.
It's really not a good name for the game, I think.
Well, it makes sense once you start playing it because that's what you do. You swap. It's It's basically like cloning Clyde. It's a 2D puzzle platformer where you are making clones of yourself to stand on switches, that type of thing.
Right, and it's set in outer space, like at a space station.
Mm-hmm. It's got a very... what's the Orson Scott Card game?
Ender's Game?
The game, though.
Oh, Shadow...
Shadow Complex.
Yeah.
Yes, it's got kind of that Gay-hater, aesthetic to called. It.
Right? Gator?
Gator. Is that what it was?
It's called Gator.
Okay. But yeah, it's really clever too. Like it does some like really neat puzzles where you have to kind of create clones of yourself as you're falling through the air and then you can
awesome.
Switch between the clones.
Dude,
it's
the first
it's
time
good.
You do that, how awesome is that?
Right. Because it's very small rooms that you're in. You're like, what can I possibly do to get to that switch? But it's all very like, as soon as you start messing around, it makes you feel smart, which is what good puzzle games.
Yeah, yeah. And if you like games, like puzzle games where you're slowing down time, if you like that effect, you will really enjoy this game because you're doing that a lot. But the first time where you'd use that in a puzzle where you're slowing down time and where you're, I think you shoot a clone through a wall, through like a hole in the wall. It's a pretty good feeling, right?
Like, yeah.
You're like, wow, this game is pretty.
There's some pretty good. It's got some pretty precise puzzles to it too. Like
yes.
Where you'll have a clone that's falling through the air and you have to shoot him as he's going, falling through down to the ground. And then as you're falling and you change to that clone and you have to turn and shoot another clone and then change to that clone. So you don't die. Cause if you fall too far, you die in the game. So it's pretty good. I like it a lot.
It's pretty sweet. It's just the name. I would have called it something else. It sounds very generic. I think like people hear the Swapper. It's like, but it has much more style than the title, the Swapper would envision.
The story's not bad either. It's got a kind of,
yeah, you
kind of see
along.
where it's going, I think, but it still has a nice kind of like sci-fi story to it.
Rogue Legacy is another one you need to check out on PC. You will enjoy it. What else we got here?
I was gonna say what I've been playing. I didn't have a list. If that's okay,
please.
I've been playing a game. It's technically under embargo, but they also technically didn't send me the review code. So,
fuck it. Technically, fuck it.
I think so. I think I can at least say what I've been playing.
Okay.
It's Mario and Luigi, the 3DS RPG.
Now you know why they don't send you the full game. You can't even remember the title.
I'm like,
game.
What is it called? Mario and Luigi Dream Team? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Even I know what it was called because I was editing the box art the other day.
Were you? That's funny. It's good.
I processed like 2,000 pieces of box art on the new CAG. It's exciting. Yeah, it's good?
It's good. I don't want to, like I say too much. I'm only about 4.5 hours in.
Oh.
And I've been told it's like 40 hours long.
It's a role-playing game?
Yeah, it's a RPG. It has a similar controls to previous Mario RPGs on the handheld. But it's, you know, again, I don't know what I can and can't say, and I don't want to get anyone in trouble. But has this game been out in Japan already, Ship? Do we know?
I like the Jask Ship.
Let me check.
I don't know.
Nope, I don't see it out in Japan from here.
But you know these things. You're smart.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. But anyway,
it's timing based attacks. Like
it is timing. Yes, it's
turtle
time-based.
Comes at you and you jump on it.
Exactly. So it's all timing based. It's turn based. The combat actually is. I mean, it's always been fun, but it's still a lot of fun. There's might be a little bit too much exposition, especially in a game where it's all text. You know, too much text, especially in a handheld game, could be a little dizzying.
Yeah, yeah. It's not voiced.
No. But some of the character animations are really good. So that's what
You can talk more about it.
I was going to say next week I'll go into a little more detail. But I didn't want everyone to be there. Why is Wombat playing nothing? I'm like, no, I'm playing a game. I just can't talk about it yet.
Right. Yeah, I was just looking at the list of, since the Steam sale is over now, I was looking at the list of all the shit that I bought. I didn't even remember. I forgot that I bought Strike Suit Zero, I haven't actually installed that yet, I don't think. But I also bought Euro Truck Simulator 2, which is pretty fun. And Train Simulator 2013, Deluxe Edition, apparently. Which is also good, and that has full controller support for all you Train Simulator fans out there, which is very rare to find. So, look for that. That game has over like $1,200 worth of downloadable content, Wombat. The Train Simulator.
Exciting.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of trains.
Yep.
What else we got here?
Wombat
news.
SimCity sold over 2 million copies.
Is that good? It sounds pretty good.
I think that is pretty good. I guess the question is, I hope you guys who all complained about the DRM stuff, you know, get ready to complain about it some more, because if they sold 2 million copies, you're just going to keep doing it.
That seems low for a SimCity.
And you also have to wonder how many of those were sold at $39.99, because they've dropped the price.
And I guess we'll also have to wonder how many copies they're continuing to sell. So
yeah, I don't know. You have to check the sales numbers for SimCity 4. See if that's good or not.
They said they considered it
a success.
Yeah. So
I haven't played it. I liked what I played, but I think like a lot of other people who played it, the biggest complaint of all is that the size of the city that you can create is very limited in this, because they went for this whole always online multiplayer thing where you're just a small city as a part of a bigger area. So no matter how you play, you're just limited to a smaller area than the previous games. And when I played for the first time, and I played for quite a while, I got to the point where I was like, well, I'm pretty much out of room. Now what do I do? And, you know, I didn't do like a great job, so I would like some more room to improve upon my city. And it's just, you can't do it. It's done. And that maybe, I guess, turned me off too. So
I like Tropico.
You're more of a Tropico man?
Yeah.
One of these days, I'll give that game a shot. If I ever see it for $10, I'll pick
Tropico?
It up.
Tropico? It must have been $10 already.
It probably has been, but, you know, I said if I see it for $10.
Right.
So there's a difference. Yes.
Look better next time.
Yes. Hey, open those eyes.
Is that $10? Have you seen that for $10 in Japan?
Who? What? Tropico?
Wombat, yeah.
Yes, I sold for $10 in Japan, yes. No, I haven't seen it. Otherwise, I would have bought it in my mornings in Tokyo.
Right. Ty woke up this morning, and he woke up early, and he said that he had a nightmare that crabs came into his bedroom and carried him out of his bedroom. And I was like, yeah, that's a pretty scary nightmare. Pretty scary fucking dream right there. Totally a Japanese dream, too. Like, what American would have a dream about crabs? Like, just
before we went to bed tonight, Elliot and I were watching a show about swamp animals in Africa, and they had the mud skipper, and mud skippers eat crabs. So I could see my son having a dream about crabs tonight.
Oh, Muddy Mud Skipper.
Muddy the Mud Skipper, yes. I actually said that. I said, look, it's Muddy the Mud Skipper. And he goes, Mud Skipper. Then he goes, he ate the crab. He did.
I did not realize you guys were Ren and Stimpy fans.
Yeah, who isn't?
I was just a big Ren and Stimpy fan. I just didn't know. You guys are a little bit older, so I didn't know if you were that juvenile back then.
I'm down with Space Madness.
I watched it in college.
I guess that makes sense now.
Right.
Space Madness.
I think I've seen all of them.
What's
what else
next,
we got here?
You idiot?
Idiot!
You idiot!
Microsoft, Wombat. Microsoft's been very busy.
Never heard of them.
They've been very busy fixing everything that's apparently broken with the Xbox One, and now they've confirmed that they are supporting self-publishing for indie developers, which is a change from what they had previously done with the 360 and what they said they were going to do with the Xbox One.
But they kind of said they were going to do. Yeah.
It's not a change from what they said they were going to do with the Xbox One.
Oh,
it's
not.
Add-on to what they said they were going to do with the Xbox One.
Explain.
If you go back and read their quotes from what they said was, right now it's going to basically work like we know the 360 works, but we are exploring other options. So
Microsoft needs to learn, like, don't.
The problem
you don't
was
want to reveal
yeah.
the product. Don't reveal the product, right? I mean, but if you're gonna reveal the product to the world, you should probably have a better idea of how it's gonna work.
They didn't answer the question very well when they were asked it, and that was back in May on Shaq News to Andrew Yoon. I just don't think their answer was very good, but they actually don't confirm. It's like this weird kind of doublespeak where they didn't confirm one way or another what they were going to do, but it
like
was
everything
all
everybody says. In
yeah.
In yeah. I don't think they knew at that point, because it's despite what people think, like how important indie games are, it's not very important to Microsoft's, like, it's not a priority for them.
Right. Like, the chance that they're going to get another a Minecraft is pretty slim.
Yeah, well, I mean, they want to appeal to the indie developers. They want to have those games. They want to make everybody happy. It's just not top of their list of things to do. It's not, this is how we're going to make this thing successful.
They don't move
and make
units.
Money.
They ain't making bank on the indie games. Nobody's making bank on the indie games. And people are going to say, oh, Minecraft. Yeah, Minecraft. Okay, there's one. But it does, it like Shipwreck says, it matters on the internet in the gaming forum.
I found the quote, by the way.
Okay, go ahead.
So this is what Matt Booty said. He said,
what's his name?
Matt Booty.
Booty. bubble. You read it while I sing bubble butt. Okay.
As of right now, yes, we intend to continue to court developers in the way that we have. Period. He did add that. I would also expect that for this new generation, that we're going to continue to explore new business models and new ways of servicing content. But Microsoft Studios is a publisher that works with a wide range of partners, as do a lot of other people, to bring digital content to the box.
Right, so people just make a big story. Because we're so far out, every little quote gets analyzed to death to make a story.
Well, the actual headline of that article was, Xbox One won't allow indies to self-publish games.
Nice.
So
but that's like every headline is like, what was the one that I posted this morning?
I really feel like it's misleading, because he's not, I don't think he's saying that. And there's not, and there's no clarification afterwards. It's that when it comes to self-publishing, Microsoft is the odd man out. But it's currently on the 360, that is the case. But I think the quote implies that they're going to continue to explore new business models and new ways of servicing content.
It's really weird. It's like I tweeted this headline this morning. It's the headline is, this is from Game Industry International, gameindustry.biz. Xbox One, Microsoft must prove its indie commitment. That's the headline. Like, what? It must prove its indie commitment, or what? There'll be less indie games on it? Okay. A few people will be upset on message boards? Yep. I mean,
I think we're not indie developers, so
yeah.
Clearly, Microsoft has to work on some issues in this area.
Yeah, oh yeah, but, and this isn't all in the fault of the people. It's a Microsoft issue as well. They should have just said at the time, they really just said, so that we don't know what we're going to do yet. And that would have been an acceptable answer.
That'd have been a story too.
It would have been a story, but the story wouldn't have been Xbox One won't allow indies to self-publish games.
No, the story would have been Xbox One doesn't know what the hell they're doing.
It would have been Xbox One still not clear on what they're going to do with indie games.
That's not the story. You know that's not the headline on that.
But that's what the headline should be.
That's not the headline.
Microsoft uncertain of indie games' future.
Yeah.
Right.
On
yeah,
Xbox
that's
One.
The headline, which there is probably go. Still a better
unsure.
Headline.
Unsure. Indie game future unsure on Xbox One or uncertain? I could be really good at this.
Yep.
I don't know. It's kind of gross in a way. But I understand.
I'm going with Microsoft Audi on indies.
Right. Right. Well, that's on the New York Post or something.
That's the New York Post headline, yes.
It is. I understand they got to put asses in seats, but it is kind of gross. Try to tone it down a little bit, maybe if you can. I don't know, but
Well, there was the article on Joystick where the first line they called it the Xbox 180 in the article about this.
In the article?
Yeah.
I guess that's funny. I don't know. Is that funny?
It's not, but I don't know. Would you turn on the news and they're going to say, they're going to make fun of the president and call him by a derogatory nickname?
Right.
Not that I'm comparing the Xbox to the president.
No,
but
right. If they want to be taken, if a gaming site is going to want to complain in the future about being taken seriously, you can't really.
Just use it. Like, yeah, just use the product by its name, and then if you're doing something editorial later, then you can make fun of it.
Right. Maybe save it for the second paragraph.
Yeah. Exactly. Or something. Exactly. Because it was.
But now I saw
Microsoft confirms self-publishing for Xbox One. Oh, my computer is just so slow.
What?
My computer is so slow. It's old.
Time for that MacBook Air, dude.
I know. It hates me. Oh, no, that's not the right article.
Everybody's got to go to GoDaddy and use these coupon codes so Wombat can get the cheapest MacBook Air. It's like $1,000.
Yes.
Maybe. So yeah. we got to register a lot of domain names.
We should do a Kickstarter.
I was thinking that you should do a Kickstarter to start the Wombat Podcasting Network. Okay? Listen to me first. I was actually thinking about this before the show this morning. I don't know why, but I was. You start the Wombat Podcasting Network, and then you quit your job. If it works, then you can quit your job. And if it doesn't, then it's like, oh, all right, whatever.
Now
I spent 10 minutes writing up.
And what would there be? Like, 2 shows on the Wombat Podcasting Network?
Dude, it's your network, man. I don't know.
I don't have that much to talk about.
I feel that you do. Think, here's the thing. People have to realize who listen to this show that we're not getting Wombat at his best. You know, we're getting like the bone of Wombat, of Wombat's chicken dinner. We're getting Wombat at the end of the day after a long day of work. He's got 2 kids.
I don't want any Wombat bone in my general direction.
Yes, you do.
What's that?
Yes, you do. You totally do.
What was that?
He said he doesn't want any Wombat bone in his general direction. I'm like, I'm pretty sure Shipwreck wants as much Wombat bone as he can get. Yep. Mm.
Right. But you understand what I'm saying.
I do. Wombat? And this is it. It's
right. I'm not wrong. Yeah. Am I wrong? No. Look, he's got 2 kids. He's getting the kids ready for school and all that shit. And then he's got to go to work in the city.
Yes. I'm up at 5:30 every morning. And by the time we start the show, I've been awake for way too long.
Right, exactly. He go into the city for like an hour and a half, work a full day, come out of the city for an hour and a half, come home, get the kids fed, feed himself, get the kids ready for dinner. I mean, ready for bed. And by the time the kids are in bed, Wombat probably has, I don't know, an hour maybe of free time.
20 minutes on show night.
20 minutes on showtime, but on a regular night, how long? An hour?
Maybe an hour and a half.
Maybe an hour and a half, on a good night, an hour and a half.
Yep.
So with the Wombat Podcasting Network, you're getting a whole new Wombat.
It would be a very different attitude.
It would be a whole, we got a new attitude.
So here it is. Here was the article, by the way, the first line of the Joystick article on report, : Xbox One to allow self-publishing. The latest Xbox 180 move.
That's different, Wombat. That's not what you said.
No, it's the latest Xbox 180 move is to integrate. Instead of saying the latest Xbox One move is to integrate support into. It's
not as bad as what you said, Wombat. Shipwreck, we need a judgment on this.
Yeah, I agree. It's not as bad as what you let it to be.
See, if we had the Wombat Podcasting Network.
I sent you the line so you could see how it.
I know, right. Okay. Oh, I see. Right. So it's one spelled out one.
Yes. I'm like it's a visual, it's more visual. When I read it sounds different, but when you look at it, you understand why I'm saying it's probably not the best way to say. I wouldn't have worded it that way in my article.
It's Joystick though. They like their puns and wordplay and everything.
Right, right.
So it's their style.
It's not that bad.
I'm fine with it.
I'm not.
Anyway, who cares?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit really? See, on the point is on the Wombat Podcasting Network, Wombat would have not He would have recognized that he was off a little bit there, and he would have, that never would have happened.
Is that what would happen?
Mistake never would have been made. Yeah.
I'm much sharper during the day.
You would have been much sharper and would have had something much more witty to say.
But then
about
I'd have
it.
To give up my brand new title at work, and I like it.
Right. See, here's the beauty about the Wombat Podcasting Network, Wombat. If you do the Kickstarter and it just like, if it, you know, you set the Kickstarter, right? And if it fails, it fails. You know, there's no harm done. You spent a little bit of time putting together the Kickstarter page.
And what should the minimum be? $200,000?
That's for you, Wombat, to figure out.
There is
out.
No
the
way.
Wombat
that
Podcasting
would ever
Network.
But I appreciate the sentiment.
WPN, Wombat. I'm handing it to you on a platter. The dream. I don't know if that's your dream.
It's not my dream, but that's okay.
It's somebody's dream. I'm handing you somebody's dream, yeah. Wombat. Just make it your own.
Does it have crabs in it? Are there crabs in the stream?
God.
They're carrying me away with a microphone and a new computer.
Ty was so scared of that dream. When I woke up, he told me he had a bad dream, but he refused to tell me what it was. He made me go ask my wife to tell me.
Giant enemy crabs.
He was too scared to even think about it. Anyway, so some indie developer complained that this, even though Microsoft had said that this is, this, you know, it looks like on the surface that this is the same as the indie publishing on the other platforms, that it's not the equivalent of what the other platforms offer. This was actually interesting. This is the guy who developed Retro City Rampage. His name is Brian Provinciano. And he says, this is a great
ham
quote.
That Wombat ate last week. That's,
yes, that was a good
I'm going back
right?
to that restaurant in a week. I already have a reservation to the ham place. The ham place.
Oh. Listen to this quote. It's a great quote. After my experience working with them to release on Xbox 360, I have no interest in even buying an Xbox One, let alone developing for it. The policy changes are great, but they don't undo the experience I had. I'm not ready to forget what I went through. Working with Microsoft was the unhappiest point of my career. Policies are one thing, but developer relations are another. It's important to me that consumers don't see things as black and white. There are still things attached to this policy change. That's some pretty strong words right there. There's a couple of guys who really just come out, like him and Phil
Fish. It's their livelihood and their, like, it's their dream is to make these games and make money off of them. And
to live off it. Yeah, of course.
Live off of it. And I can see how they get very frustrated if Microsoft isn't helpful with their dream, but it's, and Sony goes out of their way to help people.
Well, unless it's that game company.
Unless you actually want to sell the games, then it's not that helpful. If you actually want to move the units of the game,
They wound up with nothing after Journey came out. The people that
they said they've just started to make money on Journey now today. So I don't know. I think it's funny, like all this the indie game, and obviously we like indie games a lot. I mean, I buy a lot.
Sure,
I don't.
Wombat doesn't. Shipwreck and I do.
I don't like indie games at all. They're the hipsters
I know you
of video
don't.
Games. They might as well
we've
come
talked
with,
about this
with wool
before.
Beanie caps and neck beards and
right.
ironic
okay.
tattoos. I don't know. Thank you.
Right.
I
66% of us like video games.
I like video games. I just like my video games to be big and loud.
I understand that. That's totally reasonable.
It is. It's just not for me. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying I've yet to play an indie game I like.
I think it's
that's not true.
Yeah, it's not true. Wombat's making crazy statements again. You have
you
to
liked
ignore.
That. I'm forgetting the name of it now. It was on Xbox Live Arcade.
Shadow thing. We just talked about it.
No, he didn't like that. I don't think. Did you?
You didn't like that Orson Scott Card game?
Oh, Shadow Complex.
The chair game. Yeah.
Is that really an indie game though? It's made by Epic.
Oh no, it's not an indie game.
That was made by Chair. Yeah,
but Chair is part of Epic.
No. I'm thinking of. Bastion.
Bastion was published by Warner Brothers. Is that really indie, though?
That's where all this stuff gets really confusing.
Yeah, what is indie? Is Minecraft still indie? Like,
yeah, because the only person that doesn't have anything to do with it is that Notch dude.
But let me ask you a question. When does that become not indie if they start making more games?
I think if it's a private company, wouldn't that make it indie?
I guess.
Is Deep Silver a private company or a public company?
Koch Media?
Is it part of Koch Media?
I don't know.
But that's not what people are talking about.
I would say because
it's the same thing. Well, like, when you're talking
indie,
about an
indie game
band.
Is a game that's published by a private company. That is indie.
It is
by definition.
Really?
Yeah. It's not.
But at the same time, you're thinking Supergiant Games, who makes Bastion, is an indie developer, right?
I guess.
They just partnered with Warner Brothers
to publish.
What
the
does
games.
Indie mean? Published. Like, how big can you be and still be considered indie? It's very unclear.
Yeah, like if one guy owns a company, like is Valve indie? That's a private company.
Right, it is a private company.
Would you consider Valve
I guess
to
it
be
would
an
be,
indie?
Wouldn't it?
Is Team Fortress an indie game? Or Portal, is that an indie game?
I don't know. But what I do know is that if you look at indie games and you look at to see where the biggest successes are, you have to look at the Xbox 360. Minecraft sold over 6 million units on there. So they have a lot of big Castle Crashers sold a couple million units. Trials.
I call it Trials too. Don't worry about it.
Trials HD sold a couple million units on Xbox 360. I think that, you know, just Minecraft itself has so outsold every other indie game combined on PlayStation 3, right? By a lot.
Yeah. But
people will say that's not even an indie game because
Minecraft.
Another team ported it to 360.
Okay. Well, what about like Castle Crashers? Probably if you just take Castle Crashers.
People will
and Trials.
Argue with you no matter what.
Yeah. There's no.
It's just it's ironic.
Whether there's a right
way,
answer
though,
or a wrong answer, it doesn't matter. Someone will find a way to argue
it's
with
that,
you.
That game isn't indie enough for my argument. Is pretty much how I get arguments on Twitter.
On Minecraft?
On anything. Anything I say about indie games, because I like to make sarcastic comments about indie games because it gets people riled up.
Oh my God, nothing gets people riled up more on the internet than talking about indie games.
Isn't it interesting that people care who aren't game developers? Like, I understand. I totally understand why this guy, Brian, was pissed off at Microsoft. He had a shitty experience, and he's actually pretty brave to come out and just say, like, it was a fucking nightmare.
And he's 100% right to criticize it. I do think Microsoft should be doing a much better job than it has been to support.
You don't know what they're doing.
Sure I do.
You have no idea what
they're
doing.
I know what they're doing in the sense of I know how poorly organized the indie section of the Xbox 360 is.
Okay, there you go. That's totally fair to say.
Now, are you talking about the indie game section or the Xbox Live Arcade games that are indie?
Exactly.
Games.
See, it's we're already getting confused.
It gets confused.
It gets confusing.
It's very confusing.
It gets very confusing very quickly. And it's going to be more confusing on the Xbox One when they don't have anything separated. That's something else. Like, I'm afraid of self-publishing. I made the joke on Twitter that made it all the way to Game Informer.
Bum, ba, ba.
Just about... You know, what does this mean? Does this mean that all these indie games are now going to appear next to, you know, my joke was, if you make a game that starts with H-A-L, it's going to show up right next to Halo in the alphabetical listing. So we're going to see a lot of games.
I think the next Xbox 180 move is going to be to not have all games as our games. They're going to have to section this stuff off.
It's not only they should. It makes sense. There's a reason why they did it with the last one. Other than building Xbox Live Arcade as a viable brand, to get rid of that
don't get the thing,
is dumb.
Like, people want to be able to discover games, and they feel like that's not possible if they're sectioned off like this.
Which is also the appeal of the indie game. It's look at this game I'm playing that no one else is. This game wasn't advertised on a bus. This is a game I'm playing because I'm cooler than you. Now, excuse me while I get back to my chai mocha latte latte mocha latte. And trim my neck.
But that is,
I think that's just you hating people.
I do hate people.
Is. But
yeah.
Well, I mean, they're the worst. But I think
you agree with me on that point.
just the people that are on the internet. Those are the worst ones.
Yeah, I discovered if you want to learn a lot about the video game industry, probably the best thing you could do is just don't read NeoGAF. Because if you read, and not just NeoGAF, but other sites where like having a lot of discussion, because like Shipwreck just said, you read those sites and all of a sudden you're thinking like, oh my God, if Xbox doesn't have indie self-publishing on it, how could they possibly compete with Sony? Who's going to buy it? Like, and where the it just doesn't matter really in the big picture of things. But everything tends to get overblown in that universe. And you know, Michael Pachter said, he said, I think out of all the thousands and thousands of posts I've read on NeoGAF, maybe I've read one where I thought the guy had an actual understanding of how the game industry worked. So yeah, that's my pro tip for you. Tip. Right, Wombat?
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. I was too busy listening to you kill the conversation.
I can kill it some more. Do you want me to kill it?
Kill it.
Yeah, sure.
I think a big problem right now too is that in the market, like that these products are coming out with now, this is the first like console generation that has to deal with how much stuff is out there on the internet, all the social networking, all of the just how all the different news sites, like there was never this much stuff, like people trying to get all this information this early on in these consoles. So they have to constantly like do this balancing act of revealing stuff that's not quite finished. Like
they don't know they're revealing stuff. They don't even know yet.
People understand like how much can change in the final like months on a design.
Well,
like on the engineering side, like there's decisions being made. There's a reason why not just production wise, why these things aren't out now. Like decisions are still being made.
You made that point clear on Twitter this week when I won't say who, but someone was complaining about the external power source, and you explained why as an engineer it makes sense.
It was Chris Crane. It was fine. Okay. I have no problem with that. It makes sense to put it, like aesthetically, it makes sense to put it inside of whatever device you're making. And it's great if you can do that. But at the same point, it makes sense to put it on the outside. That way you don't even have to deal with the heat.
Right. This is a computer. Remember, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, these are computers. And computers have big power supplies.
And RAM.
You got to put them somewhere. And RAM, yeah.
Oh, gosh. We might have RAM news on the PS4.
I know. I saw.
What was that? I saw on Twitter.
Nothing's confirmed yet, and we won't know until probably this show is out, so I don't even think we should talk about it.
Talk about it. I want to hear it. Just tell me. I'm bored. Tell me.
It's there's nothing to tell. It's just a rumor from somebody in, I don't know, Eurogamer, Spain or something, made a tweet about how there was going to be drama in the tech front related to the RAM, and that Sony told them to hold off 24 hours while they were preparing a statement. That's pretty much all. And it's created like 25 pages on GAF.
They're going with the horrible RAM that the Xbox One goes with?
I don't know. It's the same thing though. These products, they're still developing them.
Yeah, I don't even think
it doesn't exist, right?
People just do not understand
that they don't exist.
As far as I know, and we all know that I know a lot of stuff, I don't think they've started mass production on any of the consoles yet, have they?
Usually you hear about it. Usually that stuff leaks.
Like, is that happening? Have they started mass production?
It's too early.
On either, machine?
You. Ship knows. He's an engineer.
Tell me, when do you start building helicopters?
I don't think they have yet.
They haven't.
well, it all depends on what your long lead item is. And I'm not quite sure what it would be on these consoles, whether it would be the RAM. It's probably the RAM in the PS4's case. Getting enough of that, what is it? It's
the sweet, sweet
Dash
RAM.
5.
So, and if they were unable to get that RAM chip, is it a chip card? Card?
Chip.
Chip? Okay.
RAM chips. They're chips.
I mean, so if they're not able to get enough of the RAM chips, that would delay production, theoretically, for either console.
Yeah, they'd either have shorter supplies or they'd have to push back a date.
And the thing is, we don't know anything yet for either console.
We don't know anything.
We might as well be talking about genie boxes.
I'm telling you right now, let me call it right now, if they keep the RAM or ditch the RAM, it's going to mean absolutely dick.
Well, that's probably true, too.
To your enjoyment of the box.
Yep. Genie box. That's what I'm pre-ordering.
The Phantom, you mean?
The Phantom, the non-existent. They're both.
Remember the Phantom?
Yes, I do. They're both non-existent consoles right now. Both of them. This isn't an Xbox thing or a Sony thing.
We did a whole thing about it, didn't we? Didn't I write an article about it or something? Yes. I don't know. I feel like we've talked about this a million times.
We've been talking about this for 9 years.
They're not out yet.
9 years we've been having this conversation.
I know. People need to listen.
These rumors about there being a Kinect-free Xbox keep on coming up, and Microsoft keeps shooting them down, and it's going to happen all the way up until release, because I would be shocked if there's going to be one without a Kinect.
Because it's already too late, because the software is already being developed that requires Kinect. And that's something that's real.
But also, I think it's more central to their overall strategy.
It doesn't matter. It's not so much about the overall strategy, because that you could change that. You could change the overall strategy. It's all about the infrastructure that's probably already been built for the console as far as operating system goes, as well as third-party developers and publishers that are working on games for the console that have probably been working on these games for 2 or 3 years that have the Kinect integrated under the assumption that every console is going to have it. So if you make that optional, you're screwing these third-party publishers and developers that are supporting your equipment. And that's how you lose them. And that's how Sony really gets an edge.
What? What's that? That was crazy. That was a crazy person talking.
I don't think so. I thought that made a lot of sense.
Shipwreck, was that a crazy person talking?
No, because we were talking about this earlier today. Oh, okay. And
just check.
I brought up that, yes, all of the developers will have been working.
Yes, exactly. Agreeing with Shipwreck from earlier from my conversation.
I just needed to check. Don't be offended.
Whatever. You don't like anything I ever have to say.
Don't be offended. If somebody asked if I was crazy, I'd be like, got to ask somebody.
Exactly. Ask Shipwreck.
Right.
So buy everything or buy nothing.
Well, I mean, I think it's really, but I think the Kinect is really central to their strategy of beating Apple TV at their own game. And look what Chrome did. Google did today. They announced that Chromecast.
The Chromecast. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is what AirPlay is for Apple TV, which is a big selling point for Apple TV. This is what Apple TV is, except it's even smaller. And it works with Android and iOS, right?
I think so.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't integrate with iTunes.
No, but you can, I'm assuming you can have an AirPlay type functionality on it. Is that what the compatibility is for? I'm not sure.
I looked into it. I watched the videos on it. I decided it solved a problem that I had already solved with like 8 other devices already.
Right.
So it's a great price, $35. I mean, if it works.
Wow, that's cheap.
Yeah.
I did not know. Yeah, so that's what, as I was saying, I think Microsoft views the Kinect as, you know, as a Siri beater, and they're not going to sell one without Kinect. It just doesn't, it's too big of their strategy. It's too central to their strategy of being that Apple TV before Apple TV comes out. I mean, what can Apple TV do now that is going to be so exciting once the Xbox One comes out? If all this shit actually works, which is still a big if in my mind, the Kinect 2 and the voice control. I mean, it's going to make Apple TV seem pretty lame, unless it's like a hologram projector.
It's possible.
They still got the iTunes, though.
They still have iTunes. Right. I'm still tied to that. What else we got here?
I think.
What is this developing? Did we talk about this shit?
We're all done.
Yeah, that's.
We're done.
Done.
We're on to the CAG bag.
Okay, let's do the CAG bag. Oh wow, look, we're up to the CAG bag. We talked about the Chromecast. Thank you, J. Rortega 2K10 for bringing that to my attention.
I'm gonna go with J.R. Ortega.
Nope, J. Rortega.
Okay.
Kai Skyshot asks, what's your opinion on the Wii U as a valid gaming system? HD clearly hasn't saved it from being totally ignored. Well, only Shipwreck has one.
It's too expensive.
So I think he's only qualified.
It's too expensive for what it is. The Nintendo games are great. Like, it's not a bad little console. It's just, it's not really a competitor against the Xbox One and the PS4.
Is it even a competitor against the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3?
Definitely not.
So no.
It's a neat little console. I will say I enjoy playing games on it. I think they missed the boat with not having a achievement or trophy system. I think going into making a console come out in 2012,
right,
without social features of like that kind of way. Like they have the Mii U stuff, which is, it's very popular on the system. Like people will sit there and draw stuff and make messages and everything. So it, maybe it makes sense for that, but I think very easily they could have drawn a little bit better, bigger market just by having like an achievement system in there. It makes you want to turn on and play your system more.
They needed to come out with this thing 2 years ago, 2 years earlier.
And three.
It would have been, think about how much better it would be today from all the software updates. And just think about how more interesting it would have appeared to people 2 years ago. I mean, now it just seems like no big whoop.
I think it could still do okay once it gets to the $200 price point.
I would buy one for $200.
Probably won't have to wait that long.
I'm just saying, I would buy one for $200 just to play the new Mario game. It looks good. I've played
it. Jay Skelly writes in and he asks, do you feel like Microsoft is causing more controversy with the Xbox One launch as opposed to the 360's launch?
Yes.
Do you remember any controversy?
No, not at the launch, only post.
Only after they all broke.
Yeah.
That is amazing still.
It goes into what I was saying earlier, though. Like, it's easier to cause controversy now.
Like, oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, we're 8 years later in the internet's life. Like,
which is Twitter, a billion years.
8 years ago, there was no Twitter.
No Facebook.
Like,
was there Facebook? No.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I think MySpace maybe.
There was MySpace. There was Friendster.
Right. I mean, it's
a totally different environment.
It's a totally different world we're living in now.
Yep. A crazy world where crazy people are getting us all riled
there
up.
There was
things.
A CADcast.
What's that?
There was a CADcast.
That's scary. Before that there was the a CADcast. But there are, I mean, if you look at the gaming media today, a lot of it is focused on getting you like riled up about stuff and angry. And I understand like there's always good room for good critical discussion. And certainly I think everyone can agree that like, it definitely worked to everyone's advantage, you know, with keeping used games around for the Xbox and things like that. But man, it's just like, it's too much almost. And then you're like, you're getting mad at shit that doesn't even matter. It's almost like, you know, the boy who cried wolf. I mean, you got people making videos, like popular videos, getting, you know, hundreds of thousands of views, you know, Angry Joe and Annoyed Gamer. They're like, they're angry. Like, that's the whole selling point. It's unnerving. Not as unnerving as the whole gun thing, but. And I like those guys, by the way. I'm not knocking them. I watch their videos. I'm entertained
by
them.
I think it's something that's just a culture change too, though. Because I think as you have these companies that are, as they're developing products, getting input from consumers, we just have to get used to this environment of, yes, companies can listen to consumers and change things midstream.
Like in real time.
And it's not necessarily a bad thing.
It's great for consumers.
Yeah, because
think how it worked out with the Xbox One.
Well, that DRM decision that they made for the Xbox One was terrible. It was a bad decision, and it never should have made it out the door. It shouldn't have. It was a bad idea. And
well, at the very least, it was a bad presentation of an idea.
I don't think it even was that.
It might have been a bad idea, too. That we don't even know.
It was a bad idea because it was this weird, I think, in Microsoft's mind, and I don't know because I can't answer.
It was a bad idea because Sony didn't do it, too.
It was a bad idea because Sony didn't do it, too, and it was a bad idea because they didn't go all in. It wasn't we have to be online all the time, and it wasn't you could play the games offline. It was the once-a-day check.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
So the once-a-day check, I think, was what was the killer, because that's DRM. And that's the worst thing you could say about anything in a video game to the internet masses. That's the worst thing.
What do you hate more, DRM, Wombat, or indies?
I hate them both equally.
Or people who block ads.
Indies with DRM are the worst.
What about ad blockers?
Oh, those are terrible too.
Those people who go to your website and block ads?
Block ads, yeah, it's bad. It's bad for business. But it's, you know, but that's just it. If they were online all the time and could build a case for this is why it needs to always have a connection.
No, they didn't build any case for anything.
But that's just it.
A total mess.
It was a total mess. They didn't build a case for anything. They used the wrong online strategy to begin with, and they couldn't back it up with anything. It was a disaster. And they and the criticism they got and the precipice of failure that they were looking at was totally warranted.
Right.
So they had to make a change. And it's amazing that a company the size of Microsoft would be willing to say, we screwed up, and make that change.
I don't think, yeah, I don't know that they said that we screwed up, but.
But you know, they they wouldn't say that.
Up. I mean, they didn't need to say it.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like when you know that you're wrong and you don't say you don't apologize, right, but you still buy your wife flowers.
Right. What?
Huh?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's a question from, who is this? Spartan V07 says, Wombat, is there a particular reason you're getting an Xbox One first? What made you go with the Xbox One as your first next-gen console?
Because when I went to pre-order it, it was the only one available.
Well, now the launch day bundles came back for PS4.
I know, but I already pre-ordered one, so I'm not going to, I don't want two at the same time.
Well, you can cancel the other one.
I don't want to cancel the other one.
You could get the PlayStation 4 and a game.
It's all right to say you prefer the Xbox.
Well, that's true too. In general, I prefer the Xbox 360 to the PlayStation 3. It's just that it's just the way.
But that
I
doesn't
am.
Mean that that certainly doesn't mean that you're going to prefer.
Well,
the Xbox
you know what it is.
It's
still based on that the simple controller preference.
I don't know that I like the new Xbox One controller.
It still has the same proportions. You know, the way that the analog sticks are diagonal.
It felt a little weird to me.
And the
to be
triggers.
Honest.
It didn't feel that weird to me. I do miss the weight.
It felt good to me. I liked both controllers, but I still think I liked the Xbox One controller slightly more.
So, says a lot. I also like, you know, and this could also just be my own jingoistic perception. I feel that Microsoft, as an American company, understands the American consumer better when it comes to minutia. I always felt that there was something about the navigation of the 360 that seemed a little more intuitive to me than the way the PlayStation 3 was set up. And I don't know
just
why.
The big picture shit they fucked up, right?
Yeah, it's
like
the big
picture. DRM stuff.
But it's true. And I feel like that's something, it's just something that as maybe it is that as an American company, they understand how Americans see things.
Right. But like you say, Wombat, neither of these systems exist. So even having this conversation about which one
I'm
you prefer.
Exactly, and I'm going off of the experience I have had in the past with their previous piece of equipment. Right. Now, whether or not
even with the breaking of the systems, how many Xboxes did you go through?
What did I go through? I went through three.
How many did you pay for?
I paid for two, but one I bought. I bought my Slim because I wanted a Slim, not because my old Xbox was broken.
Okay.
My old Xbox I gave to my cousin. It still works.
All right, well.
So technically I only bought one.
Okay, I'm just trying to get the total picture, but you answered this guy's question fine. I mean, that's why. There's your answer.
Yeah, no, it's based off of history and past preference, and if I'm wrong and making the wrong decision, then I'll have to live with it, and I'll probably just get a PlayStation 4.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, anything could happen between now and November that could make you cancel your Xbox.
That is true. I could always cancel my pre-order and not get either until the PlayStation 4 is available. There's also no law that says that if I buy one, I am never allowed to buy the other one.
Right.
I could have
one last question here.
Sure.
And then we can let Wombat go to sleep. This is from Thorbon3, and he wants to know, how long will it be until most video game publishers release the digital version of a game 1 or 2 months before the retail boxed version? Movies have done it for years now with video on. It's not months, though, Thorbon. 2 months before? Why hasn't the video game industry done this? It seems like with some smaller movies, they do that, at least on Apple TV.
No, they do that. They do that with the on-demand stuff, too.
With big movies?
No, it's smaller.
Right, but not big, not AAA movie, not like Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah, no.
Usually a couple weeks or
maybe. Before, like, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I see on Apple TV right now they have the new Tom Cruise Space Oblivion, and it's you can buy it now, but if you want to rent it, you have to wait like 2 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. I think G.I. Joe 2 is on there as well.
Yep, it is.
Yeah, and they don't want to Thorbon. They don't want to piss off their retail partners. I think the you know, the gaming industry is sort of more tethered to their retail partners because they got to sell the boxes, right?
Nintendo did this with new Luigi U, Wii U, whatever that name of that game's called.
It came out early.
Digitally? It came out early. I mean, technically, it's DLC, though.
How much earlier?
It's not out yet in retail.
Okay.
So.
And it's been out for, I mean, like 2 weeks, a week?
No, like a month.
It's been out for like a month. Mm. I think it was like a month and a half or so.
Interesting.
Maybe 2 months before.
But
it comes
it's DLC.
Out
it's like you said, it's DLC.
Kind of.
Well, you could say they did that with Minecraft on the 360. It was almost 6 months, maybe more.
Yeah, but that. I guess that's kind of. I mean, that's more of a. We're kind of in a gray area there, where that's more of a digital game that then gets a boxed release as.
Right.
I don't
know.
Exactly. Kind of a.
Got to be careful.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it'll happen. I think it could happen. But.
What's the advantage of it, is the thing.
Well, here's the. I mean, the advantage is if you. For who? Because there is. I mean, there's an inherent disadvantage for the consumer in buying the digital version of the game. In terms of the value, the future value of the game, you can't trade it in, obviously. So if you could make up for it in some way, maybe let me play it a week earlier or give me some other value to it, I think that helps. But
how does it help the publishers? Like, they just don't have to ship and print discs?
I don't know that they make more money. I mean, I assume they make more money off the digital copies.
They might.
Make sense, right?
I don't know. Again, these are things we don't know yet because they haven't happened yet.
What?
Huh?
What hasn't happened yet?
Like this situation.
The thing.
Yeah. This situation has not happened yet, so we don't know what the advantages or disadvantages might be.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay.
It might happen, Thorbon. I'm fine with it. Yeah. I'm increasingly more willing to go all digital, but we need to have these storage options be a lot bigger.
Agreed.
Right. Exactly.
Wrap it up.
All right. I think we made it to the end of the show, guys. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Why don't you follow us on Twitter, TPD, Wombat5277, Shipwreck, and of course, video game deals. Oh, and I started a new account. It's CAG New Deals, and that just automatically tweets.
That's Cheapy's Twitter thread that's all about democratic policies of the 1940s.
No, it just auto-tweets when somebody – it auto-tweets the new threads from the video game deals forum on CAG. There's an RSS feed for it now, and we're just feeding off of that into Twitter. So you can get an RSS feed now on CAG for the video game deal forum and subscribe to that new CAG New Deals Twitter account. GoDaddy.com. Yeah, all those coupon codes. Just go to the front page of CAG and click on the CAGcast button. Get those codes. And I think that's it. We'll see you next week.
Bread's done.
Hey, great treehouse. I built it in 2 days and I didn't even follow any plans. Why waste time?
Hold on!
Quick kick! I guess I was in too big of a hurry.
Remember, anything worth doing is worth planning. If you don't plan,
you're out on a limb. Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!